Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is the most important week for the Christian faith. Tomorrow is Good Friday and, of course, Easter Sunday to follow. But the pandemic has changed the way so many of us worship over the past 2 years. Churches close their doors to in-person attendance, just like businesses, sports arenas, and entertainment venues. But churches are reopening now. Are you going back inside, or are you going to wait? Well, joining me to talk about this is Reverend Matthew Whatley, Sr., pastor of Kingdom Fellowship AME Church, and Carla Wellborn, director of communications and marketing for Alfred Street Baptist Church. I'd like to hear from the faithful tonight. Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold Fisher. Reverend Whatley and Carla, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Great, great. So, Reverend Whatley, are you ready for Sunday morning meet and service?
Absolutely. The choir is rehearsing as we speak, and we actually had our soft open last week. We actually are opening our new Kingdom Worship campus in Calverton, Maryland. So we are kicking the tires, and we're all ready to go.
You know, each of both churches, not just Kingdom Fellowship AME, but Alfred Street, have been doing a lot of discussion about the soft opening all the way to the real deal, something similar to the way things were pre-COVID. But, you know, Carla, how were these decisions made? I'm sure that, you know, Pastor Howard John Wesley did not make this decision in a vacuum. I'm sure there was lots of input.
Exactly. I mean, they were not made lightly. We actually started the discussions at the end of last year. I would say in the last quarter of last year, we really started to put together a plan about how we would reopen. And that plan included our church council, our church administrator, our staff. So it was a plethora of people that were involved in the decision-making, in the decision-making process. We created a reopening task force, so to speak, to really evaluate when and how to reopen. In addition to that, we also hired as a consultant an infectious disease expert who has a PhD in epidemiology. So, you know, all of that together helped us come to the decision where we had a soft opening as well. The first one on March 27th, and then we opened on April 3rd to members only.
Boy, you really know how to do it over there, don't you?
Well, we like to lead with excellence. After Wesley said,
did you call in Dr. Fauci?
Almost. He was a little busy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Reverend Whatley, how did you make this decision to open? Because your church is relatively new. You opened a church. You opened this congregation, if I'm not mistaken, during the pandemic.
Well, almost. So we actually started in 2019. So we've actually been a COVID church longer than we've been a regular church.
Wow.
Once the pandemic started, we obviously shut down like everyone else. And I sort of found myself really called, a sense of calling, to try to help to empower and inform my colleagues in particular about the necessity and the safety of the vaccines. I was aware that there would obviously be great hesitation for good reason within our community. And so I ended up working with the Black Coalition Against COVID and the White House Task Force and even the Governor Hogan's Task Force as well. And so we actually, like so many other churches, became vaccine clinics. But we also created vaccine marketing packets featuring African-American doctors and scholars, so including Dr. Wayne Frederick, president of Howard University, Dr. Leon McDougall, president of the National Medical Association, Dr. Kismikia Corbett, who actually was one of the creators of one of the mRNA vaccines. And so we sort of were, you know, at the ground level of the understanding. Of course, we had our own panoply of consultants and experts as well. So we actually went back into in-person worship back in November of last year. But we did so. Our policy was we were going to be spirit-led. We were going to follow the science. We were going to use common sense, and we were going to prioritize safety. And so we put in place measures that have allowed us to stay open even with the rise of the variant, particularly of Omicron. So we required registration. We required proof of vaccination. We did the social distancing and required masks. And so we've been very grateful that we've not had any outbreaks. In fact, we even rapid test our praise team every time they sing, since they were not wearing masks. And so we've been very grateful that the protocols have been effective, and we've been able to reestablish in-person worship, particularly because we're coming into our new building. We didn't want to try to do all of that at the same time.
What was the reaction to your church members, Pastor, when you let them know, look, you're going to have to register, you're going to have to show a proof of vaccination? The vaccination rates have been low in the African American community since the beginning of the pandemic. So what did they say?
Great question. So fortunately, we started off low as a community, and then we saw that hesitancy began to fall as efforts began to rise in terms of informing people about the science and trying to demythologize many of the false narratives around the vaccine. So I didn't get much pushback from our members because I'm a trusted voice and our doctors are trusted voices. What we found, and not just for my church, but sort of nationally, as I've been trying to do some of this work, is that really those who are predisposed to listen to stakeholders, that is pastors, doctors, scientists, other persons that have sort of institutional backing, those persons may have started off hesitant, but then they were willing to be open and then ultimately took the vaccine. It really was those within our community who view Instagram and Facebook as a reliable source of accurate information that seem not to be able to get over the hurdle and continue to be resistant, and some even to this day. I have a handful of members that have not taken the vaccine, and my position has not wavered. And as a consequence, I'm in the position of being a pastor, and I know that every time I stand up to preach, I recognize that everyone will not agree with what I say. I believe they continue to come back, not necessarily because everyone agrees, but at least they know that I am sincere in my belief and that what I'm trying to do, I believe, is in the best interest of our people. And because of that, we've not had any real pushback.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As we move towards Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we are asking, as churches open, are you going to go back or are you going to sit back and see what happens 2 years after churches shut down because of the pandemic? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stephanie, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Stephanie. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I just wanted to call when you were talking about churches reopening. Mm-hmm. And my church has been open since July of 2020. We have full capacity. I mean, people social distance, people wear their mask and everything. But I don't think that, you know, like due to the pandemic, we lost a lot of people, because I think that, you know, people had the option of, You know, if you wanted to come to the church, you could come to church. If you didn't want to come, you know, it wasn't forced upon you to come. So we mainly just sanitized, you know, and people just came.
Hmm. Did you go? You went?
Yes. I've been going since July of 2020. Yes.
Okay. What's the name of your church, Stephanie?
It's called Bethel Worship Center. Michael and Donna Scott are the pastors.
Okay. Where is this?
It's in Frederick, Maryland.
In Frederick. Okay. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the reopening of church 2 years after the start of the pandemic. Are you going? Are you staying? Of course, Easter is this weekend. What do you think about that? Have you been going? Has your church, like Stephanie's church, has your church already opened? Have you gone? Or are you going to stick with Bedside Baptist or whatever your faith denomination happens to be? Give us a call. So, same question for you, Carla. I know that in watching Alfred Street on YouTube, you guys were shoulder to shoulder, knee to knee pre-pandemic. And how is that going to look now at Alfred Street? What precautions have you put in place and as you open on this Sunday? And what has the reaction been from the congregation?
So I don't know if you recall, but right before the pandemic started in March of 2020, you know, Pastor Wesley had went out on sabbatical.
Yeah, I remember.
On
yes.
2019. So he actually came back a week early because of the pandemic. And so we shut down. And before we made the decision to reopen, we also, you know, we surveyed our members. We asked them, what do you want? When do you want to come back? What do you want us to do in order to ensure that your safety is, you know, at the forefront? And so, you know, our members spoke to us. They said, you know, we want to be vaccinated. They did not want to come back until there was a vaccine and everyone was vaccinated. So, the other pastor mentioned at his church, we have people pre-register. They have to upload their vaccination card. We have, when people come in, they have to do temperature checks. We also have a seating area, so assigned seating areas, I should say. So when people come in, before they register, they get their QR code, they get their temperature check. We've instituted what we call now lobby ambassadors to augment our ushers. We make sure that people get assigned an area where they are going to be seated. They're social distance, and we do that for contact tracing purposes. So if there ever is an issue, we can, you know, trace it and contact those individuals that sat in that particular section. We have limited the number of people to worship with us every Sunday to 250 to allow them to social distance. So I think everyone has been, you know, really excited to get back in to worship. We still have the online option as well as the in-person option, but it looks different because, again, we're social distancing and we are requiring our staff to be, our staff are tested weekly. All of our choir members are tested weekly as well as daily when they're singing. So the day they come in on that Sunday, they still get tested through a rapid test. But even our staff, everyone on staff is required to be vaccinated to come on campus. So I think we've, you know, implemented all of these measures, and we understand we have a vulnerable population, so it's important that we make those people feel safe. It's important that we do everything in our power to make sure that when they come through those doors, they feel safe and they feel comfortable. So people are excited to come. I mean, we have our whole cleaning team is constantly sanitizing throughout the service, before the service, during the service. The restrooms are sanitized several times. So everyone is required to wear a mask, as the other pastor mentioned. So we're doing, a lot of us are doing the same things, because I think we all want to ensure that our parishioners are in the safest environment. But we do have the online option, and then we have the in-person option. And the in-person option, Pastor Wesley is actually preaching one sermon in person, which is different from what the viewers will get online. So he's preparing, like, you know, two sermons every week for two different audiences.
Yeah.
Because we know the online audience, you know, he said, Pastor Wesley said, now we're now a virtual church with the in-person option.
Yeah. Let me give you and Reverend Whatley an opportunity to share your websites before we go to a break. Carla, where can people see any services, Easter Sundays, Good Friday services or activities, as well as Easter Sunday services online?
So you, all of our, we're having daily devotionals that are 12 p.m., which are virtual. So our Good Friday service tomorrow will be virtual at 12 o'clock. So we encourage everyone to tune in. But on Sunday, we are actually going
to tune in where?
At alfredstreet.org. I apologize. Alfred Street. That is Alfred and Street, spelled out in its entirety, .org. alfredstreet.org.
Okay. And,
or you can go to our YouTube channel. And if you want to visit us in person, we will be at Meriwether Post Pavilion on Sunday. That is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, in Columbia, Maryland. Our service will start at 11 a.m. Doors open at 10 a.m.
Okay, let me get Pastor Whatley in.
All right.
Go ahead, Reverend Whatley, please.
Sure. You can view on www.kingdom.global. And, of course, we're also on all the other social media platforms and YouTube as well.
Kingdom.global.
Yes, sir.
Kingdom.global. Okay. Thank you so very, very much. When we come back, more of this conversation about going back to the church house after 2 years of shutdown because of COVID. Give me a call. Are you going to go? Or are you going to sit at home? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. John Monz is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. After 2 years of COVID closed doors, churches are reopening. Are you going back inside or are you going to wait? We continue the conversation with Reverend Matthew Whatley. He's a senior pastor of Kingdom Fellowship AME Church, and Carla Wellborn, director of communications and marketing for Alfred Street Baptist Church. Thank you both for talking to me. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I do want to go back to Carla, because one of the things that we have seen for some churches, not all, but some churches, is that their membership, their finances were devastated as a result of the pandemic. I do know that Alfred Street had been kind of the foundation for keeping a lot of churches alive across the country during the pandemic. Talk to me about the impact that the pandemic has had, not only, you know, financially for Alfred Street, but also the shift that needed to be made to get to this point.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, I think a lot of the churches were impacted in such a way that financially that they may not have been able to keep their doors open, or, you know, they had to really, you know, be creative in how they were going to do that. I will say that Alfred Street Baptist Church, you know, it was totally unexpected to us, but we've been totally blessed. Like, we, like most churches, when we shut down, we had no idea how that was going to impact our congregation, what was going to happen to our finances. But we've been so blessed that it has increased our membership, our viewership, and our giving. I mean, people continue to give. And as a result, Pastor Wesley started an initiative called Tithe the Tithe, where we take 10% of our tithes each week and donate it to other churches and or organizations that have been impacted by this pandemic. And to date, we have given away nearly $5 million to other churches and organizations that needed help. So churches from around the country, organizations from around the country, as well as locally that needed help with finances. Some needed a website because some churches didn't even have a website and weren't even virtual. So, you know, we helped some of those churches. We redid some of their websites for them. I mean, we just jumped in and helped where we could once we saw that we were being blessed with, you know, additional giving and donations. So, again, it was totally unexpected, but because we were planning like everyone else, we didn't know if we were going to have to lay people off, but we didn't have to lay anyone off. In fact, we've hired additional people because, again, our membership grew. So, yes, I'm just so thankful and blessed that we were able to maintain and grow throughout the pandemic.
Reverend Whatley, same thing for you. You were presented with a unique situation, as you said. You started in 19, had to shut down in 2020. And, you know, usually when you're starting a new church and trying to grow your congregation and everything else, the financial foundation has to be just as strong as the spiritual foundation. And you had to... You shifted when you started, and then you had to double clutch, so to speak. Talk to me about that.
Sure. So you're absolutely right. And fortunately, we had a bit of a strategic advantage. So we were birthed out of Reed Temple AME Church. We were the Reed Temple North Campus, and at the retirement of the senior pastor, Dr. Washington, we became a separate congregation called Kingdom Fellowship. So on our first day. My first day as pastor and my first responsibility was to sort of shift the assets that we had built up as Reed Temple North into Kingdom Fellowship. Here's the crazy part, Brother Harold. As we entered into the pandemic, we were in the process of beginning our new building project.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm praying to try to see, Lord, am I supposed to be building a new church in the middle of a pandemic where I don't know what this is going to be? And I thought that the bank would back down or the contractor would back down or the giving would slack off. And none of those things happened. In fact, like Alfred Street, our giving actually increased. And so we went forward. And so literally, had we not moved forward when we did, we would have been caught up in all of the supply chain issues and our costs would have increased. I just got the keys to our church last week. And so I can tell you that the Lord allowed us to build the church during the pandemic. And it's just absolutely amazing. In addition to that, though, like my colleague Howard, we were in seminary together. We pivoted as well. And so we started feeding persons during the pandemic, so much so that now we feed at 7 different locations in 2 different counties here in Maryland. And we also created a CDC. When we purchased our property for our church, there actually are 2 existing buildings on the property. One we renovated and added new construction for our new church, but the other one is a 100,000 square foot office tower that we have made available to our CDC. And we've now been funded by both the U.S. and the state government. So now we're going to make that entire building available for community purposes. And so the Lord has just done amazing things throughout this pandemic for our congregations and others. And sort of the rule of thumb for me has been, as I've spoken to colleagues around the country, is if your church was healthy before the pandemic, then that health really shined forth. And if it wasn't healthy, then you needed help. And thankfully, there are a number of churches that were able to come alongside them. And so it's really been amazing. Our congregation has been absolutely resilient, even though we were not able to worship in person. We created our our food bank and really what's now a warehouse out of our old ballroom. And so it's really just been a miracle in the making to see how the Lord has allowed us to make a greater impact with our doors closed on Sunday mornings than we were before. And so the lessons that we've learned in terms of our broadcast production, in terms of our community outreach and relationships and partnerships, and now the investment that we're making have all been blessings that God has shown us and made available to us through this process. Mm-hmm.
Carla, one of the things that people, I think, have gotten used to, I know I have as well, is not so much bedside Baptist, but living room Baptist. You know, at least you know, after you get off your knees in the morning, you just go downstairs to the living room and you hit the remote control, and there it is. Advantage or disadvantage in your mind?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think the advantage is we have definitely, as the pastor just said, we've definitely been able to make an impact and reach a larger number of people than we would have had we not been in a pandemic. I think, you know, we are much more global now than what we were initially before 2020. I think our impact is greater. I mean, we are impacting people's lives across the country, where I think before we were known, you know, in the DMV and nationally, but I think it's, you know, our footprint has grown. But I think, you know, the disadvantage, you know, to be honest, is some people still miss that connection of being in church, the fellowship, and being able to connect with their, you know, fellow parishioners every week. And so I think that, you know, has impacted some people. But, I mean, one of the things we've also done, or we saw increase, we have what we call the Alpha Street Baptist Church Village, which before it was an in-person opportunity for you to worship together in smaller groups. So say if you lived in Silver Spring, you would get together at another villager's house and talk about the sermon and discuss it, and it would just be a small group of people. But now we do that virtually. And we have seen even an increase in those villages. And in fact, we have a waiting list for people who want to join our virtual village, which gives people an opportunity to still connect and network, but in a smaller group virtually. So, I mean, I think the churches just have to become more creative and meet people where they are and be willing to pivot and not just say and do what they were doing pre-pandemic. I think that's what has led us to grow, and we've, you know, continued to grow because of that.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Whiteley, you're, you know, obviously, you know, this is the new church, but you're not new to the faith. So what about what Carla has said, you know, particularly about, you know, some of the senior saints, as they say, who are resistant to change. How do you, if you can, particularly in the midst of a pandemic, cater to all of the needs of the congregation, but particularly, you know, those who still have that institutional wisdom, and give you pushback?
Sure. So, to be transparent, you know, Alpha Street Kingdom Fellowship, if you put us on the spectrum, would probably be classified more on the progressive side.
Right.
And as a consequence, we tend not to get as bogged down as maybe other churches would. But I'm a third generation preacher.
Right. Not new to the faith.
And I'm good Naomi. So I know good church resistance when I see it. Yeah. What I can tell you is that it is a spirit that is not confined simply to older folk. Stiff-neckedness is no respecter of persons. And I think what's important, particularly for pastors to find themselves with great vision and simply trying to be faithful to their calling and finding themselves running up against those things. The truth of the matter is, you know, this is what got Jesus in trouble, right? He was challenging the same stronghold. So instead of thinking of it as an impediment to one's vocation or calling, one should really consider that this is actually the gig. The gig is actually trying to lead people who still desire to be back in Egypt, even though they've been delivered, and helping them to understand that there really is better outside of bondage. And so one of the things that we have seen is that as we've come through this pandemic, one of the first groups I had to hold back was actually my senior saints. Those are the folks who are most faithful. And they were the ones that wanted to come out first to do the feeding program. I said, listen, you know, the scientists saying you guys are most vulnerable. So I'm going to politely ask and sort of use pastoral authority to say, y'all can't come out until we can get some vaccines for you guys.
I can't imagine how that was received.
It was received in love because they knew it was given in love.
Yeah.
And I think that is the key. That I think that when people know your heart, and when you're truly their pastor, then you're given the responsibility of leadership, and you're accountable for it. So throughout this process, I've really tried to be very frank with our people. So as once we were, you know, very well vaccinated and you know, the numbers started coming down and we made the determination that it was time to go back for in-person worship for us, I said from the pulpit several times, now listen, I respect everyone's decision. And if you choose to stay at home, I celebrate that, I respect that, and I applaud that. But at the same time, if you're out at the mall and out at the restaurant and out at the club, then I expect to see you in church. Because clearly you're not concerned about COVID anyplace else. Don't get scared when it comes time for Sunday morning. And I was amazed as people started coming back saying, hey, Rev, when you said that, yeah, they got me out of bed. And they got me back to church. And once they got back, they realized that Marvin and Tammy were correct. They nothing like the real thing, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? That sounds like a word. Not for this Sunday, but for next Sunday. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're going to take a break. And then we'll be back with, are you going to church or are you going to sit back and wait a little while, 2 years after the pandemic closed church doors? We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about the reopening of church doors 2 years after the pandemic shutdown. I'm here with Reverend Matthew Whatley, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Fellowship AME Church, and Carla Wellborn, Director of Communications and Marketing for Alfred Street Baptist Church. So, Reverend Whatley, What's your message going to be on Easter Sunday?
Well, Harold, just between you and I, I'm going to say he got up.
Well, that's original. Colon and came to church?
How about that?
He got up and came to, you know, you can use that. Just give me credit from the pulpit.
I appreciate that. You know, the rule of thumb in my industry is credit's given the first time. After that, it's
right.
But really, we're just going to be talking about the Easter story. One of the things that's always interesting from my is that it is the one day where everyone knows where the sermon ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so actually this Sunday, I'll actually be looking beyond the simple narrative of the empty tomb to talk about the reactions of those who are around who should have recognized and put the pieces together. And it's going to be a special occasion for us because this is actually the grand opening for our new church. And so we have a couple things happening at the same time. Obviously, we're celebrating the resurrection, but we're also celebrating the fact this will be the first time that most folks get to come to the church. And so we actually had to add another service. We have an 8 and a 10:30. Those are both fully subscribed because like Alpha Street, we're requiring our registration. So we added a 1 o'clock because we wanted to make sure that everyone had the opportunity, that desire to be in worship. And I think the lesson, one of the lessons that we'll talk about on Easter is if ever we took for granted the privilege of coming to the house of God after 2 years of the pandemic, we certainly can never take it for granted again. And now, with new meaning, we'll be able to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Carla, I take it you are not preaching on Sunday.
That would be a correct assessment.
But
I will not be preaching.
Carla will not be in the pulpit on Sunday. But
the good Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley will be.
Yeah, and so I won't ask you what he's going to talk about, obviously. But I will ask you this because I know that, you know, as a critical observer, you have an answer for this. How has the pandemic changed the message that Pastor Wesley and some of the other members of the pastoral flock at Alfred Street in delivering their message? How do you think it's changed the delivery of the message and what they're saying to the membership?
Well, I would say 2 weeks in to returning to in-person worship, which is you have to be a member only to attend.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have kind of streamlined the process or the worship experience, I should say. So it's about an hour-ish. You know, we're still Baptist, but I think we used to show like a lot of the video announcements and do all of these things. But I think it's really focused now on the word and the music, and it's all about the experience. I mean, because I think it's really important for us to just feel what it's like to be back in church because it's been, 2 years or more since a lot of people have been in church. So it's about an hour service, kind of like hour power. I think we're focusing on quality, not quantity. And so we just have one service for members only when we are in the church building, and that's, at 10 a.m. But then we still have our online services that still provide the kind of creative worship experience with all of the music, all of the video announcements, and all of those other announcements. But I think we understand people want, they want to hear the word and they want to hear the music, but all of the other stuff. And I think just like with the pandemic, you kind of realize what's important, and some things that you did without, you realize you may not have needed them as much. So I think that's how it has impacted us.
Yeah.
And I think it's something for everyone. So when you come in person, it's a shorter service, but it's fuller, and it's much fuller in emotion. People, you can really feel it when you're in that building. And people are much more appreciative. Like Pastor Watley said, I think sometimes people took for granted initially, but coming back in the building now, they're very appreciative just to have this experience. But then when you watch online, that's a totally different experience because we realize people are in their living room and they may have a little more time and they can, stretch their legs. So we do a little more for online audiences. But we're trying to meet everyone where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that with, limiting attendance to 250, parking will be easier.
Yes. You only have to drive around the block maybe once.
Right.
As opposed to 3 or 4 times looking for parking.
Yeah, so certainly that's a blessing in and of itself, something you don't think about. And as far as your job, Carla, again, you are not, in the pulpit, but your job as a child of the faith, but also as a member of the administration of this, really huge and dynamic church. How has your job changed? I can't imagine I mean, it could be, particularly in the beginning, a PR nightmare, and that is your wheelhouse. How did your job change over the past 2 years, and what did you learn personally coming through this?
Well, I will say, I mean, I think, again, initially, not knowing what to expect, you know, we all had to leave the office, you know, on that Friday, pack up and go home. I thought, oh, okay, I'll be working from home and, you know, there won't be a lot to do. But it's actually been the complete opposite. Like, everything became digital, virtual. So everything that we used to do in person, you know, we had to figure out a way, how can we do that virtually and still have it make sense? So I'm like busier now than I have been when we were in person.
Yeah.
Because you kind of knew what, you know, we had the in-person worship. It was happening every Sunday and Saturday. And we knew what to expect, but you didn't know what to expect. And then you had to, you know, plan for the unexpected and then some. So for me, I think it just made my faith stronger because I saw what God was doing in our church. I saw the impact it was having on, you know, our community, our lives. And so it was just amazing. I mean, even when we went back in person a couple weeks ago, I mean, I was in the sanctuary. I mean, I was so overcome with emotion. And I had been going to work all this time. Well, not all the time, but we just kind of gradually opened back up to staff. But I'd been in the sanctuary for different recordings. But when I sat there for church,
right,
it was
different.
I can't even describe the feeling. It was so emotional. I mean, everyone, we were all crying, and it was, you know, a limited number. And I remember calling Pastor Wesley that evening, you know, and asking him, you know, how did he think it went? And because I was just so overcome with emotion. He was as well. And, you know, I think he really felt good about it because it was all of the other things that it was stripped away. It was strictly, you could feel God in
yeah.
that presence.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was amazing.
Reverend Watley, I'll let you have the last word. How have you changed as the leader of your flock over the past 2 years?
Great question. I think I and all my colleagues have become humbled. Where before we would come in and if there were 10 empty seats, we're trying to figure out what's going wrong. After a year of preaching to a camera in an empty room, now when you have 20 people, you feel like you're at MegaFest. So I think the first piece is a real sense of humility. I think the second is a greater sense of responsibility than ever before, not simply for our congregation, but for our communities. I mean, all of us have been community engaged and focused. But during the pandemic, we realized that we were the first and last line of defense for our communities. And I think we carry that burden much more readily now because of what we learned. And then finally, just to be totally encouraged by how faithful not only God has been, but the people of God have been. And not just at our churches, but the smaller churches around the country, people made a decision. I can't get to church, but I'm not letting my church doors close. And if anybody had told us that we would come through this pandemic the way we have, none of us would have believed it.
Yeah.
And so for me, if you can't believe now, I'm not sure what else it would take.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about that sermon. He rose and got up and came to church. Go ahead, use it, Reverend Watley. Reverend Matthew Watley, Carla Wellborn, thank you so much. And good luck this Easter Sunday. I really appreciate your time.
Bless you.
All right. That is the day for this Thursday, April 14th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.